Genesis 2, 8 through 20. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in Eden. There he put a man he had created. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. There it was separated by four headwaters. The name of the first is Kishon. It winds through the entire land of Halva, where the gold. That gold was good, and the land was good. Aromatic resin and oxen was there. The name of the second river is Kishon. It winds through the entire land of Kirsch. The name of the third river is the Tiris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In the 2007 comedy film, Evan Almighty, we find a character who is a senator for Washington, D.C., named Evan Baxter. He's played by Steve Carroll. And he portrays a modern-day Noah. Do you remember this? It's kind of ways away, you know? We're almost going on 20 years here. He's forced to build an ark and eventually saves his family and friends from a man-made flood caused by a breaking dam. Now, it's a lovely comedic film, and I think you can still get it on Netflix or one of the streaming sessions. It has great scenes that make you laugh, but it also has morals and a story to it. Setting aside the obvious reason why I might have Noah and the Ark as I'm doing a sermon, I think that this film is one to bring up because it reminds us more of Genesis and the part of the first days of the world than it does Noah's Ark. This film helps us remember that God's power and control in the world began at the beginning of time. It may not be the main lines or the main theme of the movie, but if you watch the movie again, you'll see it trickle through. God has been there, created the world, and wants us to care for the world. And if you don't remember any of the movie or you haven't been able to see it before, take a look here. Do you feel like you could have been that person? The original design? There's no argument between religious scholars and everyday believers in the statement that God is creator of all things, big and small. The countless hymns, like Danny was pointing out, in our songbooks alone speak to the fact for all of us believers, God is the creator. But I would argue with you today that there's a reason why God making the earth and God creating man and everything else on earth is the first story in the Bible. You see, a first always sets precedent. It sets the base. The first story in the Bible establishes the foundational context for the entire rest of the narrative. It introduces God as the creator, explains the origin of the universe, as well as humanity's relationship with God and the world God created. It serves as a prelude. It sets the theological and cosmological stage for the rest of the Bible. It demonstrates God's power and the goodness of creation and humanity's special place within that creation. How it happened, when it happened, that doesn't really matter. And I don't think it mattered to the originators of the Bible. They tell parts of the stories together. And today we see this story as part of a symbolic story to teach so many other things. Our connection to the world. God's world being ever present and known to us from the beginning until the very end of the Bible, if you think about it, in the chapters of Revelation as seen with the vision of John. Now, you may not realize it, but we're entering the peak of hurricane season. How many of you remember that? This year, though, marks the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that rocked the New Orleans area in 2005. We now know, though, that the damage didn't come solely from the storm, but from the failures of man to try to claim land that we should not have, and in trying to control waters around the city. You see, the levees that broke had been built in the 1930s, then reinforced in the 1960s, but they weren't meant for anything past a hurricane that was Category 3. Katrina, on the other hand, was the third Category 5 hurricane to be recorded in the modern era. Category 5, we hear that much more now, don't we? But back then we didn't. The storm surge, did you know that it was 28 feet above sea level? I had forgotten that. And it means much more to me now when I realize how much damage we had just with Helene at 12 feet just last year. We tried to control Mother Nature, and maybe that was our greatest folly. For although God seems to say in Genesis that the world has been handed to humans to care for it, I think we often forget what care really means, let alone how it should be handled. Our scripture today comes from the translation done for the New International Version of the Bible, and it's one of about five translations that I use all the time because it tends to be the strictest with the translation from Greek and Hebrew, the original wording. But there's a crucial note that I want you to have and listen for in verse 28. So hear this translation again with verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the earth." Did you grasp one word there? Rule. While many believe that this verse means that God is telling us to dominate and control the earth, readings from other translations use language that does not say rule, so it's important that we know that. It speaks of having dominion over the land, humans having dominion over the land. And friends, dominion is not the same as domination. Thank you. It's been a long week. Dominion is not domination. Dominion means that we are good stewards and take care of the world as God takes care of us. We are not controlled or ruled over by God like puppets or some authoritarian figure, but given a choice to even believe in God as creator. And yet, we are cared for and loved by God no matter who we are. Amen? And this is what Genesis tells us our job is from God: dominion, care, stewardship over the land and sea, not domination, and certainly not domination. Domination to the point of destruction over what God has created in these millions of years. Throughout other parts of the Bible, we're reminded of our connection to the natural world around us, often showing ends of the spectrum that we live in, with the world and with God. If we neglect and abuse the world around us, Revelation chapter 11, verse 18 tells us that God will destroy those who destroy the earth. Well, in the book of Hosea, we're also reminded and warned about what happens when humans neglect God. There's a causation factor with the earth. Heareth the words. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. Ooh, that hurts. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. That could be any time in any place, right? Because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. Consequences are seen when we leave the will and way of God. It's that simple. Consequences are felt like the extinction of trees or animals or insects, as well as even diseased humans dying when we do not care for the world and the world's creations with love and caring hands. Yet at the same time, in the same books put together called the Bible, we have Isaiah 55, where we can celebrate. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I love thinking about the leaves going like this, don't you? Clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Can you smell myrtle? See the flowers? This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is if we stay with God and God's will. You see, brothers and sisters, in the end, we're told by God, the creator and master of the world, that the earth will endure if we care for it. If we study sciences, if we listen for the general warnings and lessons of the Bible, they are one and the same, at least on this topic. We are connected to every part of the earth. The air we breathe, the land we live on, it's all used by creatures big and small. And we are only one creature, right? One creature that God created. If we simply keep using the resources of the world, though, if we try to dominate and utilize freely in a gluttonous way, we probably will die early, like a gluttonous person may die of many things. For us and for our world's sake, I think we need to remember, as we try to teach our children through movies too, that we're all part of God's circle of life. Take a listen like you're a child. We aren't kings, but sometimes we act like it, don't we? Now, my love of Disney movies aside, you may be asking if things really can change for the better. Is this just a children's fancy of a movie that makes us feel good for 2 minutes and then we go on our way? Is this idea of changing our life for the betterment of the planet one that we really can see as lasting and make a visual difference? Well, I think we need to remember a time of sadness, of destruction, of suffering. No, not Katrina 20 years ago. Let's only think back 5 years ago to the global COVID-19 pandemic. Seems like forever ago in some ways, doesn't it? And yet, if you think about it, it was right there, not long ago. You may not have realized, but there were some very real and positive environmental impacts due to us not living industriously, shall we say, or gluttonously, as we usually do. Here are some highlights. During the lockdown, air quality in parts of India, which has some of the worst air quality in the world, improved over 50%. An estimated 600,000 lives were saved. NASA and the European Space Agency reported a reduction of nitrogen dioxide emissions globally by 30%. Noise pollution fell drastically across the globe. And I don't mean just you and I talking too much. No, we weren't together, so we couldn't talk like that, but I'm sure we were on our phones, right? But noise, traffic, trains, planes, everything else. Noise pollution fell drastically across the globe, having positive impacts on animal life, especially marine animals. With a reduction in tourism, water pollution dropped, and for the first time in decades, marine life was seen swimming in the canals of Venice. These are only a few examples. I'm sure there are hundreds of other ones out there. While the harm of COVID and the virus that killed millions and the pandemic that followed are not meant to be celebrated or enlightened in any way, as I'm telling you about these other positive effects, these environmental highlights serve as a testament to how we, as a society, can change for the better and improve God's creation alongside us. So my brothers and sisters, as we go about this week in our lives, I'm going to leave you with a challenge to not only pray over, but act upon. And I think we need to remember these challenges, because some of them I remember having in first grade, fifth grade. But we keep doing some of the same things, changing some, having others. But we need to think about, how do we reduce waste? When we had the hurricane last year, do you remember how many piles of garbage were around? Try thinking about how much garbage you and I produce each week. Pray on it. I bet that God will tell us some things. Maybe we will hear in our prayers, if we listen, that we should be using single-use bags, or should not be using single-use bags or water bottles. Reusable bags, paper bags, non-plastic food containers. How to protect the resources. William came up with this one, and I think he was thinking of his pocket more than he was protecting the resources. But he said, turn your AC so it's not working every 2 seconds. Put it up a little bit and turn on a fan. The truth of it is, it will save protected resources as well as our financial money. Go local. When I was assigned to a church in South Miami, we had a wonderful mango tree in our yard, and we loved eating the fruit right from it. Now, I am terrible with plants, and some of you may have brown thumbs like I have. But those of you that have green thumbs, I challenge you to start making containers. Have your own tomatoes that you grow. Have your own peppers that you grow. Have your own herbs that you use all the time. Anything that helps a little bit for a few reasons. One, your hands in the dirt help you realize everything that others do for our living, right? For our survival. It gives thanks to those that help us, and it gives thanks to God who has created this. I think you'll notice a difference in taste. I think you'll notice a difference in the world. And there's something about when you give to somebody else a vegetable that you've created, or like anything else, that if you give to somebody else, you get more out of it than they get from you, yes? This happens too. And this doesn't even mention not having to use the huge farms that spray chemicals and harm us more than they kill bugs. Now, these are little suggestions. They may not be the ones that you come up with. Again, I think there are hundreds of other ways that we can do this. And I am very sure, though, that when we pray to God and we start thinking about it and wanting to help the earth and care for the earth as God has said, not dominate and use it overly, but care for it, that God will help us find other ways. Amen? Little suggestions. There's something you can add to, feel good about. Millions of ways to care for what God has given us to care for. As individuals, as a church, as a society, truly if we take small steps, we can show that we are the good stewards that the Bible calls us to be in caring for the world. And I hope then we'll be able to celebrate many, many generations past Simba and Mufasa, past you and I, for today, tomorrow, and every generation to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we're always trying to develop newer, better, more. We can get in arguments of what society should do or not. But Lord, let us come back to basics, to the prelude that you set in Genesis, that we are to care for the world, to make it better. Help us to help you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.